Right now, we're going to head down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, talk to Scott Rabelais of the Baton Rouge Advocate. Scott, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
How are you guys today?
We're doing all right. Let's talk a little LSU spring football. What did you guys learn about the Tigers this year?
Well, it's a little bit of an incomplete picture. They had a lot of guys who were out this spring, but I think we learned that they're very raw at quarterback. They're very raw at wide receiver. Should continue to improve on defense. Should be very good on the offensive line. Kicking games will be about the same as last year. But they're probably going to take a couple of lumps on the way along the way. Patience is probably going to be the best word for LSU football in 2014.
That being said, who do you think is the starting quarterback for LSU when they strap it up against Wisconsin that first game of the year?
I think it's going to be Brandon Harris, the freshman from Bossier City. He came in January as an early enrollee, took part in spring practice, and you hate to put a lot on just the spring game. But Brandon Harris was much more impressive in the spring game than Anthony Jennings, who does have a little bit of experience. He started the Outback Bowl. He led the winning drive against Arkansas, the 99-yard drive. I'm sure people will remember. Threw the long pass to Trayvon Darrell. But he also threw a couple of pick sixes in the spring game, and Harris just looked. He just looked the part. It's like what people say about art. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I know what I see it. I know what I like when I see it. That's what you saw when you saw Brandon Harris play in the spring game. He just looked the part. And there'll be some growing pains. I mean, it's hard to win every game, certainly in the SEC. Hard to get through without a problem arising with a true freshman quarterback. But I think if he's not the guy to take the first snap against Wisconsin, it'll be soon thereafter.
So did Anthony Jennings lose the job, or did Brandon Harris really beat him out? And with Cam Cameron there, offensive coordinator, which I really believe that's one of the best hires in the SEC the last couple years, do you see any way that he would have a two-quarterback system? And then again, did Anthony Jennings lose the job, or did Brandon Harris go and win it?
I think Brandon came in and won it, and they, from what we've heard, they told him that he would have a chance to do that. He would have a chance to come in and win the job. Though it's not totally his yet, but if I had to guess, I would say it's going to be Brandon Harris. That said, they could certainly run a two quarterback system. They are very similar guys. You're going from a very statue-like quarterback in Zach Mettenberger, a pocket presence, to guys who are a run pass threat. Kind of like the guy I remember for Arkansas who played years ago. What was his name? Matt Jones.
No, nobody remembers him.
But
Nick Saban remembers him.
That's right. Running 5 yards at a stride down the sideline. I remember that too. They're guys who have similar games, so you can call similar plays and have them learn similar things and have the offense work a similar way with both of them. So I could certainly see that, but obviously you'd rather have one guy than two. But there's a big school of thought that, to be fair to Anthony, that says for the fact that he has a little bit of experience, that he will be the guy to start the game against Wisconsin, and that they will work Harris in, maybe that game. Certainly, the non-conference games early in September, we'll start to work him in and go from there. But just hearing and seeing things, he just looks more like the guy, and that will have to grow into the position certainly. But that he's got the better ability, and that's going to be their best way to go.
And Scott, talking about Matt and his 5 yards a stride run down the sideline, we used to watch that the day after Thanksgiving on a Friday afternoon. But this year, the game's going to be on a Saturday. Saturday, November the 15th, Arkansas, LSU. Talk about the LSU schedule this year, that opener with Wisconsin in Houston, and then they're back home for a couple of non-conference games before they get into SEC play with Mississippi State. Talk about the schedule, if you will, and I know Les Miles has been very outspoken about the fact that the 8-9 game conference schedule, they would like to see rotating non-division opponents instead. LSU is going to be stuck with Florida.
Florida would be their
it's their permanent non-division opponent.
Yeah, there's a lot there. I'll try to be brief.
Okay, sorry about that.
No, it's okay. LSU obviously has been very. Let's start with the scheduling format. LSU has been very vocal. Joe Oliva, the athletic director, and Les Miles have been very vocal, trying to lobby other people around the conference to do away with the permanent opponent. They feel like it's unfair, you know, because Florida, for one, is, you know, like they were down last year, but you know, traditionally over the look at the last 22 years since. Since you started, you know, permanent opponents when Arkansas and South Carolina came into the league, they've been pretty great. You know, they won three national championships in that time and won a bunch of SEC titles, been to the championship game more than anyone else. You know, Florida is going to be Florida, you know, on balance, you know, most of the time. So they feel like that's a little unfair. So when Alabama's now won seven straight against Tennessee, all that sort of thing. Of course, that didn't work out. LSU did get what they wanted, though, in terms of having Texas A&M be their season-ending opponent. They're going to play now the last week of the year. There's, despite the fact that, and you guys tell me how it is in Arkansas, despite the fact that there have been, you know, a number of games over the years between LSU and Arkansas that were had division titles on the line and certainly national implications, I think, to the 2011 game when LSU was number one and Arkansas was number three. There was never a huge amount of heat in this rivalry. LSU and A&M is going to be a different matter. LSU finally has an opponent that they mean more to. It means more to play them and to beat them than anyone else in the conference. Alabama will always have Auburn. Ole Miss has Mississippi State. But this is going to be a traditional rival, and that's what they wanted. They wanted to play at the end of the year, so they're going to play on Thanksgiving Day. So they moved the Arkansas series up a bit. But, of course, LSU will still play Florida, usually in October. And to be fair to the SEC, LSU and Florida have played every year since 1971. This is not a new development
right. When
the permanent opponent came along. They were already playing each other on an annual basis for 20 years before SEC expansion in 92 led to the divisional play and everything. So it's just they wanted something different, and they didn't get it. And, it's not surprising. No one surprised LSU that they weren't able to change the minds of enough people in the conference to change the format.
Scott, I think when you said there about LSU and A&M being more of a rival, I think Arkansas fans will take offense to that because they looked at LSU as a rival, and maybe LSU didn't look to Arkansas as a rival.
But I agree with Scott. I think that Arkansas-Missouri series will be a better rivalry than the LSU-Arkansas series.
Well, they're border states. Obviously, you get the Booth Trophy that shows that, you know. But, you know, Baton Rouge to Fayetteville is a long way, and certainly a lot closer to Columbia to Fayetteville. LSU and A&M have a lot more in common. It's not that far, you know, along I-10, basically. There's a lot. There's more LSU alumni. Houston is the largest alumni base for LSU outside of the state of Louisiana. And, of course, LSU recruits there. Texas A&M comes to recruit in Louisiana because of the petrochemical industry. There are a lot of people from both schools who work together and deal with each other on a regular basis. It's going to be a good thing in that regard. And I just think there's a little bit too much to me, and I can understand the Arkansas perspective. I do. To me, it's a little bit too much removed geographically from LSU from Baton Rouge to Fayetteville to have made it quite the rivalry that I think they hoped it would be when divisional play began in 92. So hopefully it'll be a good thing for both people. I understand the Arkansas point, because this game did have a lot of big games over the years where you know, division titles were decided and you know, one team or the other had to win that game to have hopes of moving on to play in the big game in Atlanta. So I understand that, but I think for LSU, it is a good situation. Hopefully, it will be good for Arkansas as well, ultimately.
And with a young quarterback, young team, the best friend can be the running back. And I believe LSU did sign the number one running back in the country. Is he going to replace Jeremy Hill, or who do you look that replaces him?
Yeah, Leonard Fournette out of St. Augustine in New Orleans was, you know, number one by at least a couple of recruiting services. He is very, very highly touted. There was a feature on SI.com about him in the last week or so. I think he can be that guy. Now, they returned Terrence McGee, who had several hundred-yard rushing games last year, and Kenny Hilliard, who has had his moments over the last 2 years, kind of a hot and cold kind of back. But I think you will see LSU, you know, use the running game a lot. Are they going to be quite as dedicated to it as Arkansas is? with Bielema, I don't know, but they have a veteran offensive line. Four of the five starters returned. You have a potential All-American left tackle in Lyle Collins who decided to come back for his senior year. And you have, as I said earlier, a green receiving core. Trayvon Doral is the only real veteran of the receiving core returning. They lost Beckham. They lost Landry. Last year, LSU was the first school in SEC history to have a 1,000-yard rusher in Jeremy Hill and 2,000-yard receivers in Beckham and Landry. All those guys are gone. So I think LSU will still strive for balance, but they're going to lean more heavily to the running game, and they have a chance to have success with that with those guys and a quarterback who can make the defense play a little more honest because they are a threat to get out and run, unlike Zach Metzler.
And the last couple years, LSU has had a lot of success. What is your prediction then, LSU? Do they win 10 games this year? Are they competing to be one of those final four teams in the first playoff of college football?
Well, LSU has now, they've won at least 10 games, 2011, 2012, 2013, 3 years in a row. First time that's happened. They're going to have to work to get that, probably to get to a bowl game to do that. The Wisconsin game is pivotal, the season opener in Houston. If they can win that one, they have a real chance to start 5-0 with Sam Houston State, ULM, Mississippi State, New Mexico State. All those games are at home. After that, before they go to Auburn, go to Florida. Yeah, who knows what Florida's going to be like. Bama comes here. Game at Arkansas, game at Texas A&M. I think 8-4, 9-3 is a more realistic regular season with the eye to being a very good team. LSU had the number two recruiting class in the country consensus behind Alabama this past year, with an eye to being better in 2015 and 2016. So, like I said, people need to be a little patient with the youngsters on offense. Try to rely on the defense and the running game. But that's going to be losses. Like I said, you're going to take your lumps with these young guys.
I'm with you, Scott. Thanks a lot for joining us, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.